Nicaragua. This morning, I'll tell you a story. It's a story that's two chapters long, so we're not going to read it. But it's out of 2 Kings, starting in chapter 6 and 7. There's a lot that took place in these two little chapters. Doesn't take very long to read them if you're sitting down, but I got to stand up here and read them. It's going to take a while. But in, we get into 6, and chapter 5 we just read where Naaman, Syrian leader, had come. Got healed of leprosy. But then, next thing we know, the Syrian army is surrounding. They're going after the prophet because the prophet is telling the king, hey, there's a trap waiting for you at this intersection. And the king confirmed it. And they said, who's telling? Who is against me? And they said, it's a prophet in Dothan. You take my army and you get this man. If somebody's telling other people your business, you're going to go get them, aren't you? Especially if you're a king trying to take over another country. They all surround him, and Elisha steps out with his servant. His servant's like, oh, my Lord, look. Look at all the people. And remember, and Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw in the heavens the armies that surrounded the Syrian army. And he prays, Father, or God, blind them. God blinded them. They went up and said, who are you looking for? Well, we're looking for this man. Now, if you read into it, you know exactly who he's looking for. Him. They're at the right town. They're looking for him. He's, oh no, he's not here. The man you're looking for, as your word puts it, the man you're looking for is in another town. Who they really wanted was the king. They didn't care about him. They wanted to kill the king. He said, I'll lead you. He led an that's a mind-boggling thing, isn't it? He led an entire army. We're not talking about Boy Scouts. We're talking about bloodthirsty warriors. They've been trained for a fight. And if you don't get that energy expelled, it gets locked up in you. And now they're like, we can't see our hand in front of our face. And we're being led by this man. We don't know where he's going. And you know what God did? God led them right to the king's palace. The king's like, woohoo! Can I kill him? Elisha says, no, you'll treat him like a POW. You'll feed him and give him water and you'll send them on their way. That's not what the king wanted to hear. But he did it. Well, next thing you know, in chapter, I believe it starts in 7 there, they're surrounded. They have besieged Samaria. The entire Syrian army is sitting out there, and they've got a stranglehold. No food can come in. So they're just eating everything. They're even eating donkeys. Now, I know in our mind and the thing, all that, oh, gross, you know, they still eat horses. And I know a lot of people are put off by that. But God had a plan. You see, here's what happened. They're eating anything in sight. They're eating the donkeys. They're even eating the horses. King's walking through the town one day. A woman cries out, oh, my king, my lord, please help me. And he says, what do you want me to do? Is there anything in the threshing floor? Are there anything in the wine presses? Typical political leader response, isn't it? What do you want me to do about it? He says, what's troubling, my dear? My neighbor and I, we made an agreement yesterday that we would each give up our youngest child to be eaten. Think about it for a minute. This is how desperate they are now. And he said, I know the king's standing, I said, what? He said, so we killed my child and boiled my child and ate it yesterday. And now it's her turn and she has hidden her child. Desperate people make desperate deals. And at this point, the king, what's the first thing the king does? No, oh, my child, blessings. The Lord will deliver us. No. He said, I want Elisha's head on a stake. He's the one who did it to us. Political leaders will start blaming God before they blame themselves and before they ever seek God. So they sent a messenger to Elisha. Elisha and some elders are sitting around there, and he looks over and says, hey, look, the son of a murderer is on his way, and he wants my head. King gets up there. We don't get the whole conversation. King basically says, so what? Elisha says, this time tomorrow, wheat will sell for a shekel. Barley will sell for a shekel. And the commander, the right-hand man of the king, said, even if God were to open the windows of heaven right now, that is physically impossible. Elisha looks at him and says, you will see it, but you will not eat of it. That night, outside the city walls, four lepers, four men who are not allowed near the city, came to their senses. They said, look, we're dying. We're starving to death. If we go in the city, we're dead. Famine, and they're going to kill us because we're lepers. Then, if we stay out here, we're dead. Let's go surrender ourselves. They will at least treat us like prisoners and give us some food and water, right? So they go out there, walking into the camp. We surrender, we surrender. They keep walking through the camp. Hey, anybody home? Start knocking on tents, looking in. They go through the camp, there's nobody there. They instantly say, woohoo! And they go in and they sit down and they start eating their fill. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. We live in abject poverty all the time. This is our life. Let's take some of this food and these clothes and things that we can trade for food. Because see, they were supposed to be compassion. And in Israel, compassion was something that was not extended. Anytime you've ever seen any display of a leper colony, they were never anything good. It was always nasty. And they relied upon the charity, particularly of their family. And if their family didn't care about them, they didn't eat. So they had to figure things out. That was not God's intent on putting the lepers out of the town or even those who were sick. God never meant for us not to have compassion on people. He didn't want the disease spreading through because their leprosy is not what we call leprosy today. We call it anything that causes your skin to turn white, eczema, psoriasis, and a few other things. That's technically leprosy. If you had it, you're put out of town. But this was more of a leprosy that literally ate the skin and the flesh. If you've ever remembered the movie Braveheart and the one Earl's father, he was a leper. His face just had bubbles all over it and he was disfigured. That is what it was. It was something that was literally eating them alive. And it was painful. But the people of God were not giving compassion to those who could not go out and do what they needed. They couldn't trade with anybody in Israel, or else they would be killed. But they're like, they empty that tent out and they come back and they go halfway through another one. And they say, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't right. Why did it take people who were being abused to realize what they were doing wasn't right? They were just looking out for themselves like anybody else would. And they said, this isn't right. If we do not share the good news by morning, something evil will come upon us. So they went to the town and they start yelling at the gate, hey, there's nobody over there anymore. There's food. It's not that there was a famine right then, it was a siege. And cities could only last so long during a siege. You don't get water coming in. They didn't build them over a river, and if they did, all they had to do was dam up the river. Problem solved. And they could starve them and make them thirsty. And this was what was starting to happen. So much so, obviously, they were starting to eat their babies. And he's like, at least send somebody to verify what we said. And they said, at least let us take 5 of the remaining horses. I like how they put that, the remaining horses. There ain't many horses left because they've been eating them. And you know the king's house, they were not suffering nearly what everybody else was. So they sent the chariots. Chariots go out there, and on the way out the road, they start seeing swords and shields and helmets and robes and boots and everything. And they came back and reported, and what had happened is that that very night, God made them hear the sound. It said, the sound of chariots and horses. And the Syrians were like, oh, they got out. And they hired the Egyptians against us. They hired the Hittites against us. No. What had just taken place? Elisha had shown his servant the army of God that was watching. And this is the same stinking army. This is the same army. They didn't know what had happened, but all they knew is there's more of whatever we're hearing than there is of us. And so they're like, forget this. King Ben-Hadad is not worth it. And they ran screaming. And as they fled, they just threw everything they had and they just kept running because it's a lot easier to run without armor. And they went in and they ate. They started taking the food back to the town. And then the word got out. Word got out that there's food and wheat sold for exactly what the prophet said. Barley sold for exactly what the prophet said. And as the king's right-hand man was standing at the gate trying to stop people, hey, slow down, slow down. You know, you got to keep somebody regulating it, right? They didn't care anymore. They knocked him down and trampled him to death. Fulfilling the word that God had given through Elisha, that you will see it, but you will not eat of it. Why? Because he doubted God. How many times in your own life do you doubt what God says because it sounds so crazy? You shall see it. In our lives, when something's going wrong, why is the last person we go to God? I need a word from the preacher. No, you don't. You need a word from God. My point is not to make you reliant upon me. It's to make you reliant upon the Holy Spirit, who is with you wherever you're at. Because I'm just one man, but the Holy Spirit, he's in all of us. If we've been filled with his Spirit, he's in us. And so instead of seeking God, the king began to blame the man of God. I read nothing where it said that Elisha had anything to do with this. As a matter of fact, Elisha prevented it the last time. How many times do you look at somebody and you blame them for what happened to you? See, something else we're missing is there had to have been some sort of dialogue. Because we go from the king of Judah surrendering all the guys, the Syrian army back, to suddenly they're besieged. We just go from one rank to the other. I don't think it took place the next week. If God just moved mightily on your behalf, saved your entire army, are you really going to go attack the same guy that you tried to take out the first time? Probably not. Because you'd hopefully had a lesson learned. And again, God spared the Syrian army. They were just doing what they were told. I know everybody said, well, that's no excuse not to disobey. No, you need to understand authority for starters. You disobey in the military, there is repercussions for it. And I have no respect for any military leader or congressman or president or senator who tells the troops to disobey their orders. Don't care what you think of me about that. I've been a man under that authority, and you follow it to the letter. Because there's things you don't know. Half the time, I never knew what was going on. But you got to follow those orders because there's something bigger than you involved. There's meetings that took place behind closed doors with information you will never know. There's reasons why things have happened and we haven't seen things go the way we thought they should. I ain't saying that it's right. I'm just saying I don't know all the information. Why would a man go after the man that he just got his army saved from and God spared them again? Most likely, that king was an arrogant son of a gun. And he was running his soup cooler. Understand something, folks. Pride will lead you to that destruction. In our lives, we have got to seek God first, not last. We've got to know what He wants. He wants compassion. Oh no, Lord, I'll pledge $10,000. I don't want to go do that. I'll give. No, God says, I would rather you be obedient than to sacrifice. We're all too willing to sacrifice, except for the one thing, us. We don't want to give of us. It's too much of a commitment. You know, your salvation was not cheap. It cost the King of Glory his life. It cost him that when he came down as a baby. You better understand that first and foremost. It wasn't just the cross. It was there when he came into that body, he gave up ever being what he was before, but now he's even more glorified because of what he did. God doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. He wants you to trust him. If we're honest and we sit down and look, what is going on in the world? Prince Andrew's been arrested. All due to Epstein stuff. I don't know what's going to happen in this country, but I kind of agree. If your government collapses because of a pedophile ring, it deserves to collapse. Because I don't want that government. I want God. Well, brother, no, our Constitution will hold. God will hold. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I've believed for a long time that there's people that they say something and, well, just like they said, it was going to happen. Yeah, because there's a bunch of crooked people in this world who are greedy. Gas prices are going to go up. What happens? Whoop. Well, you know, it's because we sent an aircraft carrier group over to off the coast of Iran. We've always got one there. That's what you don't know. There's always one in the vicinity and another one right down the road from it. We've got, I think, usually on the average, 7 of those out. On average. Think about that. One aircraft carrier carries 5,000 people. That don't include the up to 700 other amphibious vehicles that help it. There's submarines. We've got, don't you be worried about it. You better start praying and trusting God, asking God to lead our leaders. Start bringing some peace and common sense back to, hey, we need to take care of our country. We need to take care of our people too. We don't turn our back on others. Jesus even taught us, he said, these things you ought to have done without turning your back. There's the problem. Israel had even gotten to that point. You should have always done this stuff without turning your back on what you were supposed to do to begin with. But it all boils down to greed. Greed's what puts people in power. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It's greed. Greed has entered the church. When prosperity becomes the preeminent message instead of trust God, that's greed. When we're doing motivational speeches, that's greed. I don't care how motivated you are. It's not my job to keep you motivated. It's my job to train you to fight. To fight on your knees. To fight like a man. On your knees praying. Humbly before your God. You can go to your God and you can trust him. Because you need him every day. That is kind of one of the points of the Holy Spirit being in our lives. I shared with the Bible study the other night. There was a situation this past week. And I was heading to Marion, and they stopped the traffic out there on 95. And I'm like, okay, it's a fire truck, got the road blocked. And I'm like, the fog was still so thick, I couldn't see 100, 150 feet. So I couldn't see anything. And when they started directing us around, the state patrol just went by me. I'm like, okay, there's a car accident. And instantly in my heart, I heard it's a Mid-Ohio truck. And I'm like, oh, Lord. See, Justin drives that road every day. And so I'm driving around, and as I'm falling around, the Holy Spirit just came upon me and began to pray. I began to pray in the Spirit, and I'm telling you what, I prayed, and the devil was there squeezing on my heart, trying to make it hard to breathe and pray. And well, I just kept pushing through, and I got back to 95 in Denmark. And God said, call your son. I called him. And he answered, and I said, oh, buddy, it's so good to hear your voice. He said, yeah, why? And I said, because there's an accident. You know, I just heard that we may have a truck that rolled over. And they did. But God had me interceding for that man in that truck. And a little whiplash, a little banged up. He's going to be okay. But I happen to know a little bit more about him, and I know the Holy Spirit's able to start working into his life. He needs freedom just like everybody does. But the Holy Spirit knew that for a moment, that if I thought it was my son, that I was gonna pray. And I told I think maybe the group the other night, maybe I didn't, but I know I told Angela, I said, if I had thought at that moment that it was a Mid-Ohio, that it was Justin, I said, I was going to buy that truck. I mean, he wasn't really doing a very good job of directing traffic anyhow. But you weren't going to stop me. But God let me go around so I would pray. Not worry. The driver's okay. The truck, not so much. Things have been cleaned up. But you see, that's why we need to go to God, not to somebody else. What's going on here? What's going on? Nobody knows really what's going on. What's going on in the world? Why is gas prices going up? Because somebody said they're going to go up. Like I said, there's always an aircraft carrier group in the Persian Gulf. Always. At least one. Why? Because it's a hotbed, right? We've got them off the coast of China. Nobody seems to be too worried about China right now. But yet China's building islands and landing strips. They're preparing for a war. But you know what? I'm not worried about it because I serve a good God. And it's not that God's against the Chinese, because brothers and sisters, we have siblings there. They are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's what we have to remember. And God will instruct us. God will direct our paths if we will trust him. Do you know what the king of Judah had to do at that time? One simple thing to end it all. One simple thing. But he waited until people were eating their babies. He had one thing he could have done that would have ended it quicker. Ask God. There's no recollection of him ever going to God. The only time he went to see the man of God was to kill him. He was going to take his head. And Elisha called him a son of a murderer. You know how Elisha felt about him. Why is the church not going to God? I'm talking the church as a whole. Why are we not going to God about the problems? We can scream, we can fight. We need to stop this, we need to stop. Oh, absolutely. We need to stop, but the problem is we're not looking at all the right things. I've told you before, we have got Hinduism moving into the county. It's a flat out worship of demons. There's no two ways about it. You can't say, oh, well, maybe they serve the same God as us. No, they are literal demons. Now we have a worship center just outside Galleon. They got to build another big temple just down by Alum Creek. Well, it won't ever come. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a bunch of businesses in this town that are owned by Hindus. What's that? I ain't against the people. I'm against the serving of demons. It's time the body of Christ rises up and prays. Opens their eyes and sees what's going on and asks God, don't go to the county commissioners. There's not a dang thing they can do about it. They can't stop business. They can't tell them, nope, you can't buy that for $1.5 million or whatever. Do you have $1.5 million to have bought it and kept it from that? No. And people are going to sell, just like my neighbor told me once. I said, I'll look for you a good neighbor. I'll try to sell it to somebody good. He said, no, you won't. You're going to sell it to the highest offer. Yeah, you're right. But we aren't doing that. We're no longer trying to take care of the business with God first. We're screaming at the president, you're a jerk. God says, you're the jerk because you didn't ask me. You trust in man more than you trust in me. Well, you know, listen, folks, everyone out here, we're all in the same boat. I don't care how much you got in that bank account. All it takes is for the government to say, boop, you're totally relying on us. I don't care how many hundreds of thousands. I don't care what you're worth. You ain't worth diddly squat now. You're going to be in the same bread line. Poverty is poverty. Nobody said that this woman who gave up her child to be eaten was normally an impoverished woman. She lived in the wall. She was crying out from the wall, from up above. She had the view of the land. She could look down on the king. But there was no trust in God. Their trust was in a king. She didn't cry out to God, oh Lord, what do we do? She didn't pray before she killed her baby. That is a depravity of 100% flesh, thinking about our belly. I watched a special last night, or the night before, I think it was. Really cool. It's something we found on Angel Network, kind of like the Wild Kingdom, but with Christian. The guy's actually a believer. He's a biologist and really good. I mean, he doesn't say, well, through hundreds of years, thousands of years of evolution, he said, God created these creatures so special. But he's talking about the Serengeti. I always loved the Serengeti. And I did not realize the Serengeti is actually defined by the animals, not by borders. It's where they go That's what defines the perimeter of the Serengeti. But he's talking about the predators. He said there's millions of animals to be eaten in the Serengeti. He said, so, you know, you have to take in consideration. And Serengeti is about the size of Maryland, to give you an idea. He said, and inside that, they have predators as well. You've got cheetahs. You know, they're low profile, fast, can climb. Then you got hyenas, ugly little things. I think they're proof that the devil got hold of something. And then you got the lions. They're big, they're massive. But the hyenas and the lions are at each other. And to give you an idea, they say if you go into Yellowstone, probably I think Yellowstone's our biggest park, there's maybe 1,000 predators, mountain lions, bears, and wolves. They said, you go to the Serengeti, multiply that by at least 10. He said, now you try to camp out on the Serengeti peacefully. And so they played the recording of the night, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to sleep anytime soon. You got them hyenas out there, and you're like, okay, yeah, somebody got an army tank I can sleep in tonight. But what they showed was this lioness. They talked about the whole thing. I was like, oh, man, that is pretty wild. But this lioness, she's eating. These hyenas found her. And if you know anything about it, they hate each other bad. And one lion is not a match against a pack of hyenas. All you need is one other lion, and the hyenas will leave. And she's eating, and she starts seeing them coming. Man, she just keeps eating. She's taking as much as she can. And they're circling her. One or two show up, and they start calling for others, just like demons do when they find out you're weak. They start surrounding you. Remember Jesus said he'll call for 7 others. And he's a hyena. That's why I thought, oh, yeah, that's my proof that they're the demons. And as they start circling her, she's eating and eating, and then she stops eating. And she starts doing her growl. And she's calling for anybody nearby. One lion is all it would have taken to set all of them fleeing. What does the Bible say? One can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. Why are we sitting around on our hands? Or, well, one on our hand. Call out to God. Call somebody you're close to say, I need prayer. You don't need to rehearse your problem. I need prayer. And then start praying in the spirit. But this lion, she just kept going. Man, next thing you know, she's got 20 of them on her. And there a couple times I thought, oh, man, we're going to watch something bad happen. And they jumped on her back, and they're trying to get her spine because their jaws can break bones. They are powerful beasts. They can snap a bone leg. You need to understand how tough your legs really are. And they can do that to an animal. And they can chew the bone. And they're just going after her and after her. She's just fighting them. And eventually she just says, enough's enough. And so the guy begins to say, why did she give up the food? Why did she walk away? Well, she walked away and they followed her. And she went back to her 2 cubs. She was staying as long as she could for nourishment for others. She went back and she fed them. She cleaned them up. And he said, there's why she wouldn't walk away. She needed that move. Because when a lioness has her cubs, she leaves the pride. She's not with them. She's on her own. She gives birth and she comes back about 6 to 8 weeks later. And then that's when the pride all comes together to take care. But they raise them for almost 8 weeks by themselves. And they're the only one providing. And she was just hoping beyond hope somebody else was there. Brothers and sisters, in this day and age, we do not have a reason not to cry out. First off, to God. Second off, for our brothers and sisters. One can put 1,000. But two can put 10. I have watched the fights where it was a lion and he was trapped, and these hyenas, I mean, there was a bunch of them, and he's, and next thing you know, here comes another lion. And man, it was just like you just poured water on a bunch of ants. They took off because they're no match. The devil's no match against you. But when he wants to come in, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the enemy is going to try to destroy you. But when he does, cry out to God and he'll raise up that standard that he cannot rise up against. I don't care what flag you think it, that's technically a standard. The standard is Jesus Christ. He was raised up. Amen? He was the one raised up for us. So don't ever think you're alone. The problem they had back then is they couldn't go before God. None of them cried out to God. They were looking to the king. And the king was a perverted man. Because if he had been a godly man, he had never threatened to kill Elisha. He had known, I won't get within 10 feet of him to kill him. And anybody I do, God's going to kill them. Cry out to God in these times. Don't hold on to, well, you know, I need to call out to my mommy and dad. You know, yeah, you can call them if they're prayer warriors. If they're doubters and worriers, they ain't going to get you anywhere. They going to come, mama's coming. What are you going to do, mama? Really, what are you going to be able to do? Well, I just need to go in and save my baby. No, you don't. Sometimes the baby needs to fight a little bit. But this is a spiritual battle. It's not like they're in a street fight and you got to try to even the odds. Because I've seen some pretty wild things happen in fights where you get a mama in there, they kind of like grizzly bears. Don't touch the cubs. But even the mamas can get whooped. But God can't. That's where you trust God. You do what you can do. Mamas and papas, brothers and sisters, you pray because it all depends on God. They always say, pray like it depends on God and do what you have to like it depends on you. Now, I'm going to pray because it all depends on God. And if God tells me to do something, then I got to do it. But just like that the other day, what was I going to do? If it was his truck, I was going to do the exact same thing I did 2 years ago. Wasn't looking forward to it, but I'd have done it. Why? Because my God is huge. My God is bigger than any problem we're going to face. My God is bigger than the Antichrist. We had better understand that. We are not subject to the Antichrist. We do not have to bow our knee to what that spirit is going to do. It's going to rule this nation as well. People better quit prophesying these false prophecies that the United States will not see it. The Bible says all countries. I don't know about you, but A-L-L means all the world. All. And you want to know how it starts? Well, we've got a good idea about it in 2020, don't we? We started seeing it. And you can bank there's something coming. Hey, it sounds like you're negative. No, I'm expecting. And I'm expecting for my God to show up. He's going to show up on the scene. And I believe there's coming a day and time when people are out there running their pie holes against the prophet, the real men and women of God. I'm not talking about prophet liars. I'm talking about true prophets that are speaking the truth, who are leading people to Jesus Christ. That there's going to become a day just like in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira came to the men of God and they said, this is all we got. Well, first off, God didn't tell them to sell it. They did it. They wanted to pride. Really? Is this what you got? Yep. Uh-oh. Go bury him. A little bit later, I believe it was Sapphira, right? She comes in and says, oh, did my husband bring you the offering? Was that all you got? Yep. Why did you conspire to lie to the Holy Spirit? The men who carried your husband away and buried him are waiting behind you. And her spirit left her. People want the power of God, don't they? Ooh, let's see people healed. Let's see all this. There comes a price with the power of God. There is a price to be paid. By the way, the prophet didn't live inside the town. He was outside of town. Because honestly, let's be honest. Prophets were weird. There's been several things I've read with Elisha. I'm like, kind of weird there, Elijah. You guys are, woo. But the reality was they were powerful men of God. And they didn't care. I mean, Elisha, when he walked away, he burned his daddy's tractor. I mean, I don't, you know, looking around, I think, okay, so Bob was the only farmer. You know, when the boys left home, it wouldn't have been a good thing for him to burn the tractor down to field. Bob, I'm like, why couldn't you just said you're joining the Air Force? You didn't need to burn the tractor. But Elisha burned the tractor in the field with the plow. His and his dad's. I ain't ever coming back and dad ain't coming after me. But that's what Elisha did. He turned his back entirely. All God's asking for is your heart. Sometimes he does want you to step away from something. But he wants your heart because he needs to be able to take you wherever you're. But I'm going to preach. And yeah, you're going to preach, but you're going to start slow. I would rather see somebody grow in their walk with God. In the military, the Marine Corps is the only one that does not promote fast. I knew guys that had been in for 10 years, and they were the same rank I was. They just could not get promoted, not because they were bad. It was just because that was how tight it was. And then I've known people that got promoted, and I'm one of them. I got promoted early. Meritorious, I knew my stuff, but boy, I look back, like I had a lot of growing to do. I got a lot of responsibility thrown on my shoulders. And I was expected to start acting immediately like a man, but yet all the guys that were I was over were the same age or older than me. And so I had to start growing up quick. But I started learning. God's not going to take you in the world or in the church and start throwing you into the fire right away. Even Milo Lefevre, he grew up in a Christian home. He sang gospel music. And even when he was on drugs and alcohol and living the La Vida Loca life, he said, I never quit loving God. He said, I really like those drugs. When he said and he walked away, he says, I'm done with this, God. Change me. I want more of you. He ends up writing a song called More. Great song. Listen to it. He went back to a church that God told him to, and he says, I want to be here. I want to grow. And you know what they said? Oh, brother, man, you come from the Lefevres, the singing Lefevres. We're going to put you up here. We're going to do this. No, they said, well, we need toilets cleaned. He was the janitor. He started cleaning toilets. And boom, boom, boom. It's been a few years now, probably at least 10, no, it's more than 10, probably 15 years ago, I got to meet him. And I saw him across the church, and I told him, I said, you just stay put, that's my little Lefevre. And I went over, and we had just been listening to that CD in the car. And I told him, I said, thank you for writing that song. So I just listened to it this morning. And it ministers to me. And that song was written in the 80s. 30 years later, the song was still just as true. I want more of you, Lord. That should be your cry every morning when you get up. Lord, I want more of you. Father, I need to breathe you. I need to eat you. Oh, brother, that sounds like you're getting a little weird there. Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, how much weirder do you want to get? Oh, by the way, men, you're a bride. Let that one sink in for a minute. You're part of the bride. We're the ones he cares about. Because I'm going to tell you right now, on a wedding day, there ain't nobody that that groom cares more about than that bride. You come after his bride, you know, I always thought, Lord, anybody comes up that aisle. I don't know that our pastor ever said anything about if there's anybody here objects. I thought, I don't really care if you do. I'm going to punch you. That was just all there was to it. I really don't care. I'll find something to throw. This is my bride. And that's why I say today, you got anything to say about my bride? She's still my bride. 35 years later, she's still my bride. You got anything to say about her? You better be careful and say it to me with caution. I think it was Rob and I were talking this morning. I don't care how old we get. He was talking about his granddaughter, and I said, you know, I told him, I said, a couple years ago I had a guy come to me and I was putting some lockers in. And he walked in there all cocky, he's a few years younger than me, and he looked at me and said, I think you'd fit in one of them lockers. I just looked at him, I said, boy, I'm this old for a reason. Huh? I said, try it. I think the revelation hit him. Because like Rob said, yeah, you may not, you ain't going to be put in a locker. They're going to put you in a jar when I'm done. There's going to be pieces and parts of you. You go after her, Jesus is the same way after you. What do you think he's going to do to the Antichrist? I mean, come on. He's coming after the bride. And we better start crying out to him, not to the Antichrist. Because, folks, you're seeing that power rise up all across this world. You want to know why there's not justice in places? There's why. There's why. My opinion, if your name's on that list, I got to know something. Why? But then again, remember, a crooked government is also going to put a crooked list. Because there were some names on there, I'm like, yeah, that person's been dead. So their name was mentioned. Well, they're on the list. That's like saying somebody that died of cancer died of COVID. Yeah, it's not right. Perverting justice. But there's going to be justice. But we had better walk circumspectly with Christ, trusting in him, not in everything else. It's all you need. All right? Amen? Let's stand. And while I may have overlooked your request, I will pray for it now. It just hit me. I was like, why did I put that one to the back? Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you are our hope. You are our salvation. Lord, you are everything to us. Lord God, we surrender our lives to you. Father, we surrender that which is seen and that which is hidden. And Father, we thank you for your mercy in all of it. Father, I pray that you continue to move in our hearts. Change us into your image, Father. We don't want to look like this world. We don't want to sound like this world. We don't want to smell like this world. We want to look like you. We want to sound like you. Lord, we don't want to smell like rotting flesh. We want to smell like the Shekinah glory of God. Like we've been in the Holy of Holies. And even though the world may try to burn us in the furnace, Lord God, we won't smell like smoke. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, and as I bless them, Father, I thank you that you're traveling with Alexis right now. You're setting your angels round about her car. Father, that you're ministering peace to her. Lord God, you're going to just bring life into this, into her travels to visit her nephew and her sister. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving and that there'll be no harm. And Father, she will have a wonderful time with wonderful weather as well. And now, Lord God, I bless your people. Father, I know many of them are facing different things this week. I pray that your hand be upon them. Father, give them the courage. Give them the wisdom and the words. In Jesus' name, amen.